Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath services. This is Who Controls Your Mind, or What Controls Your Mind, Who and What Controls Your Mind, number 3. Now be sure and follow them all along, because today we are in a battle for the control of our minds. And Satan, being the prince of the power of the air, not only is seeing who he can deceive, but he has many helpers and many workers who are dedicated to him. He has many high technology things that he can use. Think about television, media, entertainment, music, especially music. Music is what can control the mind more than anything else. And so what I want you to do when you're viewing television, I want you to ask the questions. What are they trying to do? Okay? Whether it's an ad, whether it is news, whether it is a video program. Now, some are quite good. I've been watching the one, it's been the Planet Earth Marathon on the Animal Channel. And they've been showing everything about the creation of God. And, you know, when you see some of those things, it just makes you realize how small and little and puny and absolutely stupid human beings are to believe in evolution. And all the things that are in the ocean, all of the animals, all the life from top to bottom, they go clear down to the deepest part of the ocean, and there's life. And God has shown and demonstrated his power and his creation through that. All right. Now then you take other programs, just like when in number one, I challenged Bill O'Reilly about Christmas, because he's proud that he has the no-spin zone. But the no-spin zone is a program with a different spin. It doesn't use the old spin. It uses a different spin. And you have absolutely no news programs anywhere that give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because if that happened, you would never be on the air. And about the only place you can do it is on the internet at the present time. And they haven't figured a way to totally control it. So as long as God gives us the means for doing it, we will. But here we are, human beings, and the God of this world is Satan the devil. And he is the one who is deceiving, just like he started out with Adam and Eve. I want you to notice something very important concerning sin and benefit. Because Satan came along and he said to Adam and Eve, you'll become like God if you eat this fruit. And you can decide what is good or evil. That is not a good benefit for you. Now, since God gave free choice to all, that sounds good. Doesn't the word freedom sound good? Now, if you have freedom from God, that is, without God, you're enslaved. If you have freedom through God and his Spirit and his laws and commandments, then you have what is right. However, when Adam and Eve sinned, they suffered the death penalty, which passed on to all human beings. And let's go back and review this in Romans 5 for just a minute here. And we all have the nature of sin and death. And we all have minds which by themselves, of and by themselves, are desperately wicked and deceitful. And one of the most common things that people do is deceive themselves. And the media is right there to help them with it, creating a false reality. Now, also speaking of the media, television, movies, and the whole thing, watch this. More and more of it is coming straight occult, pure occult. Whenever there is sin, there is pleasure in sin for a season. Now, the season may last longer or shorter, depending on the circumstances. But this sinful nature is passed on, as well as the nature of death. So let's pick it up here in verse 12. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now, this is not talking about the sin of Satan the devil. That was the original sin, and that was the sin which caused the havoc and the necessity for recreating the earth. Entered the world. And by means of sin came death, because you read, God said, dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. And in this way, death passed into all mankind. When you have a nature of death, and you have a nature that is rebellious, and you have a nature that is deceitful. See, Paul called this in chapter 7, the law of sin and death. Now, being out there in the world, without God, without the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God, there is no escape. You can't change it. You can't overcome it. And what you will find is that even in the studies that they are doing on how to control the human mind, they're finding out that the mind likes to lie to itself. People tell lies on the average of 3 every 10 minutes, either to themselves or to other people or in what they're watching. Okay? So this is why we all sin. If you have the nature of death, there is absolutely nothing that you can do that is spiritually perfect. And it is for this reason that all have sinned. So no one is escaping it. Okay? Now, number two, along with that, one of the biggest deceptions that human beings like to do is think that they know more than God. And when they hear about God and hear about the Word of God, they look at it and see how they can change it or improve it. See, that's why Protestantism is so deceptive, because they use so much of the Bible, yet throw away all the rest. Now, for us living in this world and also teaching our children as they are growing up, who and what controls your mind? Because Satan is the prince of the power of the air, is out there controlling as many minds as possible. Now, another thing that's important to know is this. As I covered last time, you wait and see. The mark of the beast will be for control. And to project and put thoughts in your mind, but what you need is a receptor. That's why it will be in the right hand or in the forehead. And this is why God has warned so much against it. Now, our minds were made to learn. Our minds are made in a special way so that we can learn, we can talk, we can think, we can analyze, and our minds and our nature, because of the nature of the law of sin and death in us, is a mixture of good and evil. Those who practice themselves in evil can become hardened criminals. Those who practice the things of righteousness, even without the Spirit of God, will have a better mind, better thoughts, will have some of the blessings of God, because they're following the Word of God. Now, let's come to Matthew, the fifth chapter, and let's see something here, because we're going to see a principle that is going to help us overcome. Now, I'm going to save some of the spiritual things when we get to the Spirit of God and overcoming, but this is going to be more practical, based upon a spiritual principle, what we need to do with the Word of God. All right, let's come down here to verse 6, Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, you have the righteousness of God, you have the righteousness of the Word of God, you have the righteousness of human behavior that is good. So all of those are involved in controlling your mind. But this right here is the key. What do you put into your mind? What do you allow into your mind? And have you had things come into your mind that you don't even want? Yes, indeed. So let's come back here to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and let's see what is important for us living in this world. Now, we are bombarded as no other people have been in the history of the world. And we have apparatuses and things that make it so our minds are occupied all the time. Our minds being occupied does not necessarily mean that we're controlling it. So what controls, what occupies your mind? Let's rephrase it, okay? What goes into your mind? Now, you can hear, that enters your mind. You can see, that enters your mind. And you can think and analyze, and that puts everything together within your mind. Now, there's another aspect of your mind that you need to understand, which is emotions. Now, emotions are what we would call subjective thinking. It's really not based on truth. Emotions are based upon feelings. And this is how Satan enters in, by giving you something that's pleasing. They ate of the fruit, tasted good, looked good. God didn't kill them right on the spot. Must be okay. Feelings have to do with such things as, since there's all the college football on now, watch all of the college students and their teams, regardless of what the sport may be. They're all in there, emotionally, shouting, cheering, yes, all of this, jumping up and down. So much occultism that what they're doing the Darth Vader thing, you know, like this, to try and put a hex on the other team and all of that sort of thing, showing how everything emotionally based, though you may feel good, and remember there are good emotions. There's love, there's hate. There's gentleness, there's cruelty. All of the works of the flesh are based on feelings. The works of the Spirit are based on the Spirit of God and the truth of God. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Now, that's hard. Because if you lose your temper, you're not controlling the self. The emotion is controlling you. So we have. Let's read it here, okay? Verse 23. Proverbs 4, above all things, which means the first and foremost, in every circumstances, above all, guard the door of your mind. Now also, the Hebrew includes heart within that. See, because if you don't guard the door of your mind and your emotions get involved, then you're going to make wrong decisions. You're going to say things you never meant to say. You will get carried away in temper and anger. And then when you get away from it and cool down, then what? If you're sorry, you can repent of it. But you still have to do some repair, don't you? Okay. Now, what about the things that do not involve anger or emotions, but emotions are involved from this point of view? Ideas are put into your mind. And they know they can do this with just a flash of a picture. So when you're watching the commercials, or if you're watching a television show, watch the action scenes. But what is it they're putting in the mind? What is the unseen message behind that scene? Well, virtually, the only protection we have is the truth of God and the Spirit of God. Guard the door of your mind with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything concerning life has to come through your mind and heart. Every single thing. And you have free moral agency involved. And free moral agency and the proper exercise thereof is how to control your mind. Now notice verse 4, or 24 rather. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. This is telling you how to guard the door of your mind. And deceitful lips put far from you. Now, what's the first thing that happens when people get in trouble? Do they immediately say, oh, yes, it's my fault? No. They lie. They're devious. Because it is in the carnal mind to do that. And you always have to be on guard to put it away. Let your eyes look right on. And let your eyelids look straight before you. That's why we walk in the way of the Lord. Ponder the path of your feet, and your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now that's the summary of everything from chapter 1 up to here. But the key is, guard the door of your mind. Now, let's see how we do that. This applies to the converted and the unconverted. The book of Proverbs tells us how to fulfill Matthew 5, 6, hunger and thirst after righteousness. And there are many aspects of righteousness that we need to understand. Now, chapter 1 tells what happens when you reject God and his way. And in the book of Proverbs, as we have mentioned before, these are universal laws that apply to all people at all times, everywhere. So when you're doing your viewing and analysis and thinking and observing, keep all of these things in mind and see what you come up with. Okay? Now here's God's instruction. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you. Now, just put in your margin Hebrews 10:16. Write the commandments in our hearts and in our minds. Can even a carnal person have that happen to them if they memorize it and follow it? Yes, indeed. Because God's word is not bounded. Conversion, as we're going to see, is another whole dimension from God. But nevertheless, if you take the spiritual things from the New Testament and apply it to the book of Proverbs, you will see how they work together, just like the Apostle Paul said, that we are able to understand salvation through the writings through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice the ifs and the choices. All the way through here, this is if, then. If, then. So if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, it's in your mind, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. All right, now let's notice how he builds up this condition. And this is the way that we grow and change and overcome, and this is the way that we develop self-control. Now, we can add in the power of the Holy Spirit into that for those of us who are converted. But this is why children need to learn truth. They need to be disciplined. They need to be taught what is right. They need to be shown what is evil so that they can avoid it. Now, verse 3, yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. Now God will give it. The Word of God will give it. You won't have complete understanding all at once. Let me ask you a question. How much more of the Bible do we understand today than we did when we were first converted? How much more do we understand in dealing with people now that we're older and we've had our ups and downs in dealing with people, and we have learned certain things, an awful lot, correct? Now, those that haven't learned anything, they inhabit the penitentiaries. The rest of them that haven't learned very much probably inhabit a lot of the government offices and the schools and the churches. Now, notice we have two ifs. Let's look at verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Now think about that. Think of all the energy that was expended to go up and mine the Klondike. And how many people lost their lives freezing to death in Alaska looking for gold. I wonder how many had a Bible with them. Everyone can understand that. Now, If you discovered that there was a treasure of gold beneath the foundation of your house under the cement slab, and you really believed it and you really wanted it, how long do you think it would take you to get the equipment and start jackhammering up that part of the slab and digging down to find the gold? This is what it's telling us. Now notice these are the conditions before we come to then. Now, stop and think spiritually. What does this tell us about the Laodiceans? Well, they're laid back. Everything is cool. God is with them. They don't have to do much. They can have one foot in the world, one foot in the church, have just enough religion so they think they can run back to God, and have just enough of the world so they can get along in the world. Now, that's called double-mindedness. And James talks about double-mindedness twice. So we have if verse 1, if verse 3, if verse 4, now verse 5, then, it's a process, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So you take it the opposite way. So if you don't do it like this, will you find the knowledge of God? Will you understand the truth of God? Doesn't this show that we have to apply ourselves every single day? Yes, indeed. There's one thing that athletes have learned. Forget the mistakes and move on and correct them. And some have said, the athletes that are able to do that best are those who end up being more successful because they learn. Well, likewise with us. See? That's what the then is all about. Look at how much effort has to be applied. Okay? Let's come to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and let's see something here. Let's see how Paul applied this very principle in correcting those in Corinth. Because here we are, we have the truth, we have the knowledge, we have the Word of God. We have all of these things, and what are we doing with it? It's the same way with people in the world. What are they doing with their lives? look at how many kids waste their lives on emotion and sex and drugs. Now they are finding that kids, because sex education in school is not enough, they're going to pornography online and learning about sex even more. And once their minds are occupied with sex, guess what happens? All thinking stops. All learning is crushed because they become obsessed. Now, talking about treasures, okay? Paul tells us right here in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, God has to be the one who works in our minds. That's why prayer and study. How many times have you heard it? Okay. Look at prayer and study this way. Eating and breathing. Okay, same thing. Physically, we wouldn't last long if we weren't eating and breathing, correct? And then the third ingredient, it is the Holy Spirit of God, which is likened to water, correct? Yes, indeed. Therefore, neither is he who plants anything, nor he who waters, for it is God who gives the increase. He says it twice. Now, because God is building within us his character, and we're his workmanship. Now, we're his workmanship spiritually. For teenagers and children, the Word of God helps mold their minds to think right and wrong, good and evil, to understand. And they need to know because there are so many things out there that can take them down. And now that the society is the way that it is, that mom and dad have to work and they're never home, never see the kids, well, then the children have to learn to be responsible themselves. That's a big task. Okay. So here's a good lesson for all those who are teachers and ministers. Don't get lifted up. Don't think because you're an elder or minister that you're something special and everyone has to bow and scrape to you. It was like one elder said when there was a problem that came up. He hoisted himself in his chair about as high as he could lift himself, and he said, "Who is the elder here?" That's not the question. The question is serving, teaching, understanding. Guess what? That man is no longer an elder. Now here's why. He who plants and he who waters are one, but each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now that applies to each one of us individually. That applies to all the elders and teachers individually and collectively. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's husbandry, even God's building. So remember, ministers are stewards. God has given us the responsibility because he's chosen to do it this way, that we are to teach the brethren. They are to know, they are to learn. And like Paul says in Romans, the second chapter, you who teach others, do you not teach yourself? Are we not to learn and grow and change and repent like everyone else? Because I'll tell you, the surest way of a church collapsing is for all the ministers to think that they're something special and all the brethren are just, how shall we say, ATM machines and chattel. That's not so. We are to help and we are to learn ourselves to grow in the mind and character of Christ. And all of that takes control. But what I'm going to show here is this, that we have a parallel in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, between riches and seeking after it and the work we need to do as compared to the work that those who are disciplining their minds and so forth need to do to educate their minds and become self-control and guard the door of their minds. Now, verse 10, as a wise architect, according to the grace of God that was given to me. I laid the foundation. Another is building upon it, but let each one take heed how he builds upon it. How are we doing? How are we building? All right. For no one is able to lay any other foundation besides that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. And if anyone builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. Now see how that ties in with Proverbs, the second chapter. Search for it as hid treasures. Search for it as for silver. Now I want you to notice the exact same parallel in structure that we have in 1 Corinthians 3 as we have in Proverbs. Notice. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. Not interesting. Comparison between good, righteousness, truth, and wood, hay, and stubble represents that which is not spiritual. And the work of each one shall be manifested, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall prove what kind of work each one's is. That's why we have trials. That was why we have difficulties, see? And if the work of anyone is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as though through fire. Now here's why spiritually. So we can't separate it all at once. But here is why spiritually we need to control our minds. Guard the door of our minds. Right here. Don't you understand that you are God's temple? And that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. Now, we'll come back to that at a later date, because this declares an awful lot about the grace of God. And if anyone defiles the temple of God, this is why God does not need a building. We individually are a temple, a little later likened to spiritual stones, that Christ is building, and it's also likened to a body, because God's presence is within us. So all of those analogies come together, all of those comparisons, see. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him, because the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we need to guard the door of our minds. Now, that means, as we covered in number two, you have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every thought. Now that's a lifelong project. That's not something that you just say, okay, I'm going to control every thought. Never going to happen. See? All right. Now notice verse 18. What did we start with? Mind is deceitful, right? Let no man deceive himself. If anyone thinks himself to be wise in this world, let him become a fool so that he may be wise in God's sight. See, and that's how we control what goes into our minds. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, as it is written, he entraps the wise in their own craftiness, and that also is the epitome of the whole book of Proverbs. Again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, do not let anyone boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present, things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. Which means then we better be about the business of growing and changing and overcoming and hungering and thirsting after righteousness, see? All right, now back to Proverbs 2. Here is what will come with the work of guarding the door of our minds, growing in grace and knowledge, hungering after and thirsting after righteousness and God's way, putting it in our minds, thinking with the Word of God, analyzing with the Word of God, You see, that's then how we control our minds. See? So you cannot let those things enter into your mind. Now, Job made the statement, we'll cover that a little later, but I'll just put it here, concerning the things of lust of women. He said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. In other words, he was controlling what went into his mind by not dwelling on the things that would cause lust. Now, verse 5. Then, see, everything we've covered so far adds to the if. Okay, verse 5. Then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for God gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now, what do we have here? The words of God. What did Jesus say concerning how man shall live? Man shall live by every word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. There it is right there. And we've got it all in print. We don't have to go into heavens and say, God, where's your throne? Tell me what you want. We don't have to go to the bottom of the sea and say, oh, God, tell me what you want. We don't have to travel any place in the world because God has provided his word for us, so we have it here. See? For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up wisdom for the righteous, not for the sinner. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Now, just put in your notes there, Ephesians 6, about the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the truth girt around our loins, you see. That all comes from God. Verse 8, he keeps the paths of right judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Now, notice, a second then. See? Three ifs so far, two thens. Let's see what we come up with. Then you shall understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. Now, since everyone wants to be smarter, notice we have if, and then. Notice verse 10. Wisdom shall enter into your heart. Now remember this. There's knowledge. There's understanding. That's being able to put the knowledge together. Then there is wisdom, which is number 3. And wisdom is the proper use of knowledge and understanding. Because you're controlling, guarding the door of your mind, controlling your thoughts and not letting outside influences control you. Now, what are we doing in all of these things that we're covering here? Okay? Wisdom shall enter into your heart and knowledge shall be pleasing to your soul. We're covering how to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, how to control our minds. Now, think of it this way. Are we complicated? Yes, we're very complicated beings. The whole way that our minds and body and everything works is very complicated. Therefore, the Word of God has to be detailed so we know how to run this complicated equipment that we have called our body, our mind, and our spirit. We could put it that way. All right? Verse 11, discretion shall preserve you and understanding shall keep you. Now, all of those things are based on the first three ifs. Let's go ahead and take a break.